This is Radio Boston. I'm Bob Oakes. You've been listening to NPR's special coverage of the Interfaith Memorial Service in Dallas for the five police officers slain last Friday. You're hearing piano music from that ceremony right now. We heard today from former President George W. Bush, Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings, Dallas Police Chief David Brown, and President Obama.
I understand how Americans are feeling. But Dallas, I'm here to say we must reject such despair. I'm here to insist that we are not as divided as we seem. And I know that because I know America. I know how far we've come against impossible odds.
With us this afternoon to talk about all this are some Boston community leaders. Tiziana Deering, professor in the School of Social Work at Boston College, a member of WBUR's Community Advisory Board. We're also joined by Mark Leahy, executive director of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police and retired Northborough Police Chief. And we're joined by Darnell Williams, CEO of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts. And listeners, we want to hear from you in the next few minutes. What struck you about today's memorial service? What did you make of the tone of the remembrance? What do you think about police and community relations at this critical juncture? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Let me start with this. I have to say, as has been mentioned already in the past few minutes, that President Obama is so good about these things, and unfortunately, he has so much practice at it. He strikes the right tone at sad events, makes an observation that gets a laugh, diffuses the tension and the sorrow, brings us directly into the lives of the five police officers killed, and then brings us back to the serious, saying that our entire way of life depends on the rule of law, and supporting these officers by saying that's what they were doing at the moment of their deaths. Tiziana Deering, what struck you about today's service?
You know, as I was listening to the president, I was just thinking about how hard it is for a leader to guide people through anger and grief. And he's the president of the entire country. There were three devastating shootings last week, one memorial service. And so he was challenged with experience, with speaking to people who were grieving across all of those experiences. And I felt he struck an incredible balanced tone of all the various messages people in this country might want to hear today and now. And not everybody wants to hear the same thing.
Mark Leahy, what struck you?
Well, I thought it was a very thoughtful and insightful set of comments that the president made. It certainly was not a traditional memorial service, in that typically in a memorial service, we focus on honoring the dead. But I think he took an opportunity that he had to take to begin a broader dialogue on finding ways to heal.
I also was struck by something the mayor of Dallas, Michael Rawlings, said. He said Dallas's pain is national pain. It was not. My first thought was when the broadcast came on was that it was difficult to see this and hear this and not flash back to the service that followed the Boston Marathon attack. Tiziana, did you feel the same?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it feels like we have a pattern of national grief and national mourning with which we're becoming all too familiar. You said at the beginning that the president has had to give a lot of speeches like this during his 8 years in office, and I did find myself thinking of that particular parallel.
Mark Leahy, the president stood up for police officers repeatedly in his speech this afternoon, saying we ask too much of them and too little of ourselves. As a former police chief, what were you thinking at that moment?
Well, I think he hit the nail on the head. And of course, different aspects of his speech certainly probably appealed to everyone. But I think that the police officers appreciated those remarks because since I began this career 40 years ago, the job has changed dramatically, and we do spend a considerable amount of time addressing mental health and substance abuse needs, oftentimes when you are in suburban or rural areas, in a vacuum of the assets you need to help those people. So I think his comments would be very well received by the entire law enforcement community.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll take some calls just as soon as we get them in. We've had a bit of time now to put the events of last week into some perspective, Tiziana. How do we move forward as a nation after that and after this service today?
Well, I think it's important. You know, the president at one point in his speech talked about how after these moments, we go back to business as usual. We go back to old habits and the immediacy of our daily lives. We have an opportunity here to instead hold on to the empathy we've been feeling for each other over the last week and to hold on to this sense that we really are in a common experience and try to use that to frame our public discussions, our public policy around race, poverty, violence, guns. And we as a people will either choose to hold on to this sense of empathy or not, and I hope we do.
Mark, let me ask you, how do you think police officers and their families are coming to grips with these shootings in Dallas and beyond?
It's a difficult time. You know, on a practical basis, we know that police officers in our country interact with the public over 119,000 times a day, over 43.5 million times a year. And yet, statistically, a small number of situations tend to paint the entire profession. I know it's tough on families, but it's pretty much like everybody else right now. I don't think there's anybody that isn't feeling some pain over the recent events in our country.
Do you think police officers and their families feel afraid? Do they feel targeted?
Well, I certainly hope not. We have a job to do, and we stood up and swore an oath to protect our communities. That's our lot in life that we gladly took on. I'm certain that they are concerned about it. I've heard comments to that effect. But I think that we have to hold our heads up and know in our hearts the good work that is done every day and remember that and move forward.
Tiziana, have the events of the last week changed conversations inside all American families, especially African-American families?
You know, one of the things that struck me about the news coverage over the last week is the extent to which we've gone public about this concept of the talk that Black families have with their children about being safe in public today. And I think, I doubt, as a white woman, I can't speak from firsthand experience about a conversation inside a Black family. I doubt those conversations have changed much, but I do hope that conversations in white families have changed some over the last week. And I hope conversations in all American households have focused a little bit more on the relationship between police and the community in this kind of social work context, this community needs context, and how we work together to address those.
Do you think we've learned something in the last few days about how white people see race and about how African-American people see race?
Well, we've certainly had a discussion about it, and those who are listening to that discussion or participating with an open mind hopefully have. I hope, if nothing else, we can finally get to a point where we recognize that implicit bias is a real thing, and for the white community and the Black community to agree that that's a real thing, and how do we affect community policy and public policy accordingly.
The president said in his address today that we know bias remains. We've heard it at times in our own homes. And if we're honest about it, we've heard it in our own heads. And none of us is entirely innocent, a truncated version of what he said this afternoon. How serious do you think the racial divide is in this country right now?
I think we're at a very serious place. Local leader Hubie Jones last week or earlier this week was quoted raising his concerns about it. And he's an African-American leader. When he says it's a problem, I believe him. I think we are at a time of great racial tension. And I think we're seeing a set of patterns around economic divide, racial divide, education divide that are raising people's anxieties, especially, Bob, as we don't fully understand the complex systems that are driving these kinds of disparate outcomes. And we're going to have to get really serious about digging into that data and trying to understand that better.
The number to call to take part in the conversation is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. John is calling from Charlestown. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My thoughts just that I feel like, especially at this moment in time, people need to address how police deal with people in general and not focus on race. I know that the black community has had a different experience than the white community, but right now, at a time when ISIS wants to destroy us and there's enemies across the world that would love to, you know, that probably love seeing.
Okay. All right. John, do you want to take this on? I mean, Mark, do you want to take this on in terms of what John was talking about?
Well, I wish I had known where he was going to go with it towards the end. Clearly, this is just one more problem for us to face. It seems these days that just when we get focused on watching our external concerns, we have to pay attention to our internal concerns as well. And again, I think you lost the end of his phone call, so I'm not certain precisely where he was going with it.
All right, let's take another call. Colin is on the line from Essex. Colin, thanks for speaking to Radio Boston. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to say that in terms of President Obama's comments today, I really, truly, I'm a generally center-right Republican, and I've always had a lot of respect for President Obama's ability to deal with tragedy again and again. But I really appreciated the fact that he's trying to encourage people in a sort of not politically charged way to just listen to each other. I'll notice that my right-wing friends will always be biased towards, like, you know, the police can do no wrong, and left-wing people, social-minded, social justice-minded people will bad. And I think that President Obama today tried to instill into everybody listening that there needs to be a willingness to compromise and a willingness to listen, and not just trying to talk to a brick wall. So I feel like Barack Obama's just been trying to talk sense to a brick wall, and everyone who's been trying to talk about not being politically charged has been doing that. And so I'm very hopeful that in the future that people on very opposing sides are going to be able to be willing to compromise, even if they don't think so.
All right, Colin, thank you very much. We're losing your cell phone as well. Tiziana Deering, do you think, considering the fact that we have unfortunately have had incident after incident after incident in America over the last couple of years, and especially the last couple of weeks, do you think we're at a point where we can move forward, at least in the dialogue?
Yes, and I think Colin's call is a wonderful example of that. He represents just one voice of the reasonable American. This is a guy who's a center-right Republican saying, I appreciate what this black Democrat president just said in calling us together to actually listen to each other. My guess is that our political dialogue is polarized, but our people are much less polarized than we might think and are prepared to engage with each other if given the leadership and the guidance to do so. I think Colin's a great example of that.
Well, let me ask both Tiziana Deering and Mark Leahy this question. From your friends, neighbors, and colleagues, do you get a sense of outrage about what's happening in America right now, or is there fear out there enough so that it will spark some conversation about change? Mark, why don't I start with you?
Well, I think that, you know, where you're from and where you are right now plays a role in that. And many of these situations that play out across the United States, I've been very grateful, have not played out in Massachusetts, and I hope they don't. I think that we tend to have a more well-educated and insightful group of police officers. History has fairly, and let's face it, all these incidents around the country, they fortunately have not been here or even in New England for that matter. Outrage, I'm not sure in my community that I hear outrage. I hear concern. I hear people that are looking for a path to do better. And I hear far more conversation about community partners, certainly, than I ever have over the 40 years of my career.
Tiziana Dearing.
You know, one of the privileges of my work over the last few years has been an opportunity to work in both white and black communities. And across those communities, as events have unfolded in the last few months and a couple of years, I hear confusion, fear, and fatigue. And I think the fatigue predominantly from a black community that is tired of disparities and tired of being patient as we work on implicit bias and social change. And then across the board, I hear confusion and fear, because I think confusion breeds fear. When we don't understand the social and economic dynamics that are happening to us as a country, and if we don't understand the political and national security dynamics that are happening, that leads us to fear. And we have not been, Bob, having a very clarifying conversation about that at the national and public level.
I think I have to ask this question. If you grew up in the 1950s and 60s, racism and the civil rights struggle was a central part of the lives of Americans. In the 70s and 80s and 90s and up to the maybe this point in the 2000s, not so much so. But are we returning to that?
Well, I hope so. I think it's an important part of continuing to develop as a people, especially in a country that's headed towards majority-minority status and in a city that's headed towards majority-minority status over time.
Mark?
I do not disagree with anything she just said. Now is the time for conversation. And, you know, perhaps it's as simple as everything, you know, everything old is new again. And why we haven't had those discussions for so many years, I really don't know. You're right, in the 50s and 60s, that's my generation. Clearly there was a lot more discussion, watching many aspects of the civil rights movement, and then things seemed to go quiet for a very long time. Listen, our goal always is to serve all of our community. Many of us have not gotten overly involved in dealing with immigration matters because we feel that our duty is to everyone. Regardless of what their immigration status was, and regardless of what their race is. The thought of a child being brought up or just growing up afraid of the police saddens me. And that in itself should be a catalyst to find a better way to do this.
Last question, Tiziana Dearing. Has all of this, do you think, given the Black Lives Matter movement more traction, is it now the civil rights movement of this time?
I think it has the potential to be the civil rights movement of this time. And in order for that to continue to happen, a very broad population is going to have to embrace what they're trying to say, which is that Black lives matter too. And in our country, we can do more to realize that in everyday life.
Tiziana Dearing, thank you very much for joining us today. Professor in the School of Social Work at Boston College, member of the WBUR Community Advisory Board. Also, Mark Leahy, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police, retired Northborough Police Chief. We go out for music from the chorus that accompanied today's memorial service in Dallas. An interfaith choir composed of singers from area churches joined the Dallas Police to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Bob Oakes.